All right, we're back in Romans chapter 5 tonight. We're going to finish Romans chapter 5. And I've got just a little bit of an outline here. Rather than to go down through and try to deal with each verse, we got man versus man. We got sin and the law versus grace. This is what these verses deal with. Man versus man, sin and the law versus grace, and death versus life. That's what these verses are dealing with from verses 12 through the rest of the chapter. And Paul is presenting this in this manner and setting up the format and the foundation for teaching on the doctrine of sanctification, chapter 6, 7, and 8. This is the establishment. Remember chapter 5, I said it was kind of like a door that kind of opened, and we found this pathway, and we've talked about this pathway the last 3 weeks. I'm not going to spend any time on it tonight, but there's that pathway to maturity, confidence, and stableness, and so forth. And then when you come to the last section and the last half of the chapter, the door swings wide open. And this is the conclusion of the doctrine of salvation. And the setting up and the establishing for the doctrine of sanctification, which we will begin next Wednesday night in chapter 6. So we got man versus man. In verse 12, by one man. Now you think of that tonight. One man. What one man produced. One man. You think of all of the chaos, all of the wars, all of the bloodshed, all of the ungodliness from the time of Adam and Eve's fall to the present. One man. One man brought this into the world. Now, the devil gets the credit for it. But the devil is not credited for this. All the devil can do is tempt. That's all he can do. Man wills, man chooses, man decides. And they did. So, by one man in verse 12, wherefore, again, as a conclusion, as one man, sin entered into the world. Not Satan. Satan didn't bring sin into the world. Man did. And man is responsible for all the chaotic corruption, confusion, all of the mess that this world has seen over the millennia that man's been upon the earth. Man's responsible for that. Man. And God brought man guilty in chapters 1 and 2 and part of chapter 3. Brought man guilty before God. The whole world guilty before God. There's none good, no, not one. There's not one that seeketh after God, not one. Very grim commentary on man. He's totally depraved. And capable of anything. And so, this is where all this has come from. Not Satan. Satan gets too much credit. Satan gets too much recognition. And man kind of slips out into the shadows as if he's not guilty. One man. One man. Now one man versus another man. And we find the second man down in, verse 15. If you'll look, and I just want to point out the one man. It's in about the fifth line in my Bible. You see, which is by one man. See it? One man. So you have Paul presenting one man versus another man. This man we know to be Adam. We know that. Because he tells us that in verse 14. Adam to Moses. So we know what man he's talking about. So this, and Corinthians speaks of the first Adam and the second Adam. So by this man, this is the result. Look what we have, what kind of a world we have. And I want to tell you, if you're listening to anything, what's going on in this political realm and temperature that we're in, I was embarrassed. I'm totally embarrassed. Our country, if this is our leadership, I'm embarrassed. Really. No dignitary. There's no dignity of the officers. No dignity. Why can't people act like mature, grown-up, civilized people? It's no wonder our country is in the mess that it's in when people get before millions worldwide around the world and act like two little children in a playpen. It's a mess. It's a mess. It's no wonder we're in the condition we're in. So, and man's responsible for this. Man's responsible. So man versus the other man. Now we know this man, and he's identified, just as Adam is identified in verse 14. This one man in verse 15 is identified, Jesus Christ. So he is, I don't know what I did with my magic marker. He is the God-man. Now, if you eliminate this, then you have broken the entire formula. If you delete this, then you have deleted and voided the entire formula. The ultimatum is, here's where we want to go to. Right here. Which one's it going to be? Is it going to be life or is it going to be death? That's the ultimatum. So now if we eliminate him of being this second man, then you have totally destroyed the entire formula. And that's what man has done. That's what man did in chapter 1. And I don't know how many times since we started Romans, how many times I have emphasized that man has rejected the person of God and presented the program of God. And that's what he does. He wants the program of God and inserts himself into it and eliminates the person of God. I want to emphasize, and to you, those on Facebook tonight, I want to emphasize in this, I'm putting this up here not only for us in our auditorium here tonight, but I'm putting this up here for all those that's watching out there on Facebook tonight. You eliminate this God-man here, you're not going to come up with this. You understand this. And this is a special kind of life, as we'll get to in the close of this study. Again, I can't emphasize enough. You eliminate this man from being the God-man, and you break the entire formula, and you're not going to come up with the right conclusion. And that's where man's finding himself today. And so man is not only a sinful creature, but he is a religious creature. He is a religious creature. God made him that way. God made man in his own image. He is a religious creature. And he has that characteristic about him that he wants to do something. It's the way it's created in us. But when you eliminate the very person and only promote the program, then you don't come up with the right ending. And boy, millions and millions and millions of people are going out into eternity and finding out too late. Wow. Wow, we were deceived. So, man versus man. Now, this man cannot bring this end. This man cannot bring this. Second, first of all, you eliminate this from this man, you'll not come up with this right. Second, this man cannot deliver that formula. Impossible. Absolutely impossible. Thirdly, this cannot produce that formula. Absolutely positive. And this is what he deals with in verses 12 through verse 21. This is what he's dealing with. So if we want to come up with the right formula, and let's just look over and look what kind of a life this is. It is given in the last verse of 21. It is eternal life. This kind of life never ends. It's eternal. Eternal. It never ends. This man cannot produce this because this man is temporal. This man's not eternal. This man's temporal. So how can a temporal man produce eternal life? Impossible. This God-man is eternal, and he's the one and only one that can produce the life eternal. You eliminate the God-man and just make him a regular man like religion does, you're not coming up with this. And your reliance is back over on this man, and he can't produce that. And that's what these verses are dealing with. And this together was never given to give this end. Never. It's impossible. The law was our schoolmaster, according to Galatians. The law was our schoolmaster to take us to this man. And they want to eliminate him. They want to take him completely out of the formula. You eliminate Christ, the God-man, from the formula, and you're not going to come up with the right conclusion, which is life eternal. Everybody with me? And that's what these verses are dealing with. What's he doing? He is summarizing the doctrine of salvation, which he has presented the first 3.5 chapters, proving man beyond the shadow of a doubt guilty before God, giving 7 or 8 verses of pure, unadulterated theological doctrine of God in the doctrine of salvation. It took Paul 3.5 chapters to get man guilty. It only took a brief passage to get man right. It don't take long for man to get right. And we find that. And then after we get right, we find 2 illustrations of Old Testament characters, perfect examples, one before the law, one after the law. And now we're over, before we get into the end of the doctrine of salvation, before he brings this summary, he gives us a brief introduction in, you're not going to make it all the way without trials and tribulations. God has a path for you to maturity, and we've been studying that the last 2 or 3 weeks. And now as he is summarizing the doctrine of salvation, here's what he gets. He wants to make sure that people end up here, not over here. Because this man will bring you here. This man can only deliver this. This man can only deliver this. And you eliminate the God man, you will not have life eternal. You depend upon and confidence in this man to give you this. He can't do it because he's temporal. He's not eternal. He can't give eternal life. How can man, and anything that man's devised, anything that man has created, it's never brought life. All the statues, they're dead. And Paul said, the people that make them, and David said it, the people that make them are like what they made, cold and dead, lifeless. What David said, and Paul, statues, images, icons, and so forth, they will not bring you to the right end. Life eternal. And that's that confidence of hope. That's that confidence of hope, assurance. That's that confidence. When God saved me on July 3rd, 1978, He put me into eternal life, and I have been in eternal life ever since. I've been in eternal life ever since July the 3rd, 1978. At about 11 o'clock in the morning, on a Sunday morning. But this God man is the one that gave it. Now, so we're dealing with the person. Second, the program. Here's the person. Man versus man. But we see who this man is. He's Jesus Christ. He is the God man. So we have the person versus the person. Second, we got the program. Sin and law versus grace. Sin and law versus grace. Remember, what we want to come to is right here. I want more than just this physical life that I'm living in now. Amen? If this life... Paul said, if in this life, if that's the only hope we got is if in this life, then we are of all men most miserable. There's got to be more to it than just this. Even though I have enjoyed the last 43 years quite enjoyably. The first 30-some was not so pretty. So we got the program. The program. And here's what Judaizers, we got to figure out what to do with this. This is what man brought into the world. And this has consequences. So man is trying to figure out, what are we going to do with this? So they devise their own program, and it's legality. It's the law. Everybody with me? I'm not losing anybody, am I? It's legality, legalism. It's man working, man attempting, man achieving. It's something that man does. And man teaches that this is the answer. And we saw that in the book of Acts, chapter 15, when the elders came together to determine how is man saved? Because Paul was preaching the gospel, and Peter and the other apostles were preaching the gospel, and then there was all these Judaizers that supposedly got saved, and they're going around telling everybody, well, yes, but you also got to be circumcised and keep, you got to be circumcised after the manner of Moses. They're so stupid. They don't even know their Bible. Circumcision didn't come through Moses. Circumcision came through Abraham. They didn't even know that. But that's what they taught the people. You got to be circumcised after the manner of Moses, and you got to keep the law, or you can't be saved. So what man is teaching, and there's no different than religions today from the Judaizers of that day when the Bible was written, and going around and following the pure gospel of Christ and corrupting it with legality. And they're telling, if you want this, you've got to keep this. And I say to you, if you attempt to keep this, you'll never achieve the end. Because this is in the person, not the program. This is in the person, not the program. The program was a teacher to take us to the person so that the person can take us to this. Now, I'm doing it this way because, rather than to go through each verse and try to explain it. I'm doing it by diagram. They taught us in Bible college, visual aids is one of the best ways to teach. People remember what they see. They forget 90% of what they hear, but they'll remember what they see. I don't do a lot of visual aids because my handwriting is terrible. Now, so man has taken the God-man and replaced him in theory and in religion, theology, and replaced him with regular man. They say Jesus Christ was just a regular man. No matter. And that Jesus Christ is not God. And we know what they did over in John chapter 6, 47. They just took on him out. They just omitted him from that verse. They took him out. You remove him and you don't get this. And my question, and to you out there on Facebook tonight, I don't know, some way, because of my heart tonight, somehow I have all of you that's listening on Facebook in my heart tonight. For some reason, I'm speaking to somebody. I know when the Holy Spirit of God is burdening my heart. If you want to live forever, your faith has got to be in him, not in this. Your faith's got to be in the person, not in the program. The person is Jesus Christ, and he is God. God manifested in the flesh. The God-man. And if we ever attempt to come to eternal life and live forever with God, we must go by the way of the God-man, not by the program that man has emphasized to which you have to obtain. You obtain eternal life through the law. The law was never given for that purpose. The law was in Galatians teaches us very clearly. This was given to take us to the person. The program was given to take us to the person so that the person of God could take us in to the right end. Life eternal. Life eternal. So what does this? Not the law. Right here. There's your answer. There's your answer. It's grace. It's grace. I don't do anything. The God-man did it all. And that was the theology of salvation back in the second part of chapter 3. He did it all. The God-man, he did it all. He died for me. He was my substitute. He was my propitiation. He was in my place. He bore my sin. He solved this problem for me. Wow. Man has sure corrupted it, hasn't he? He has sure corrupted it. This is one of the most important conclusions in the entire book of Romans. There are several. And this is probably the most important because it's the conclusion of salvation. When you get over into chapter 8, you get the conclusion of sanctification. And also over in chapter 12 through 16, you'll get a conclusion of service. And this is the most important conclusion because if we don't get it here, there's no need of going to chapter 6. No need of going. So, grace is the answer. And grace comes from the God-man, not this man. Grace does not come from the law. And it's not a additive of both. It's not some type of achievement of law and grace together. They don't mix. You can't put them together. Remember this. If you don't get anything else tonight, remember this. The law was given for one reason, to find us guilty. Secondly, more than one reason, secondly, to take us to the God-man, to be our schoolmaster, to teach us. The law says, the law never gave life. It says, the soul that sinneth shall die. Die. So, man versus the God-man. Sin and law versus grace. This is the program. If we want to come up with the right conclusion, life eternal. If not, we're going to come up with this. And once we go out, G-O, that's not spelled right. Oh, here's the H. Didn't get it. Couldn't see the H. Now, there's two rules. There's two rulings. Two thrones. I can't build a throne. I'm not even going to try to. There's two thrones. I want you to notice that I'm going to conclude a little early tonight. There are two thrones. If you will notice, verse 21, the conclusion. There's two thrones. Who will rule? What will rule? Sin hath reigned. Hath reigned. As you look at this world tonight, the condition of it, you think it's still reigning. It's still, no, God's always in control. Sin reigned from Adam to Moses. Go back and read 14. Sin reigned from Adam to Moses. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses over them. Yeah. But after Moses, the law found us guilty. And the soul that sinneth shall die. And the law never gave life. The law only gave death. Period. But it reigned. It was an authoritative rule. So death reigned. Sin hath reigned unto death. Even so, grace. So might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So thank God tonight, here's the throne, right here. We was just to it in our prayer time in Hebrews chapter 4. Come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace. There it is. And it reigns. Death and sin no longer reign. Death and sin has been conquered by Jesus Christ our Lord. And now anyone and everyone has access, if they will humble themselves and confess that they are a sinner in need of salvation, to take care of this little problem. Sin. And only Christ took care of that sin. He nailed our sin to the cross. He bore our sin. He was our sin bearer. He was our substitute. He was on the cross for you and for me in our place. That we might through Him receive His grace. And when He died, buried, resurrected, and ascended back to heaven, He established a throne that would rule and reign. And it's called the throne of grace in Hebrews chapter 4. And anybody can come to it. Come boldly. Not arrogantly, come boldly. And you can get help in time of need. A sinner can come for salvation. A saint can come for cleansing, for help, to get help in time of need. That's man's problem. Man has convinced man he can take care of man's need through self-promoted programs, religious programs that are devised by traditions and philosophies and so forth. And man follows this and believes this. And when he dies, he goes out into eternity and he doesn't find life eternal. Because he would not come to the throning. You got to come to the right throne. Right? You got to come to the right throne. You got to come to the right king. You got to come to the right king. If you want the right end, if you want the right commodity at the end, you got to come to the right throne. You don't want to come to this throne. If you follow man and his traditions and all of his religious propaganda, it'll bring you to a throne, but it'll be the throne of death. But you come to this throne that the God-man has established, and you can find help for salvation. You can have grace for life. Grace can help you. It can cleanse you. It can birth you. It can give you eternal life forever and ever. And only the God-man can produce that, not man himself. And that's what these verses in verse 20 of chapter 5, verse 12 through 21 is teaching. That formula right there. And I did it this way to make it easier to be understood. So there's two thrones tonight. There's two thrones. One of them is the throne of grace. And the other one is the throne of sin and death. Man controls this through religion. The God-man controls this through grace. And there it is. And once we get this down and we understand it, and our eyes of understanding are illuminated, and we have come to the clear understanding of the program of God and salvation, we're now ready to approach chapter 6, 7, and 8. Because I want to tell you, when you get into it, it's tough. It's tough. So, as next week, chapter 6 begins, there are those that say, when you teach this, I don't know how many times I've said this, and people have told me, Nancy has told me this about some people she knows. If you teach this grace, then you're giving people a license to live however they want to. They can sin and do whatever they want to. No. No. And Paul took care of that very quickly. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? You're never going to move to sanctification with that attitude. Just because we got a ruling throne, just because we got a throne of grace, so we can just go out and sin and live carelessly and carnally? No! Don't even entertain the thought. That's not what this throne was established for. This throne was established to give eternal life and give help in time of need. It's all by grace because of Jesus Christ, the God-man. Man will take you down through this program and leave you right here. The God-man will take you down through what he did for you into the throne of grace, and you'll end up with the life eternal that will reign forever and ever and ever to no end. That's what those verses teach. It's a wonderful conclusion to the doctrine of salvation. Wonderful conclusion. Yes.
I think one thing that's really important when I was first saved is I had to realize that death was also everlasting.
Absolutely.
Because I thought I would just die.
Yeah, yeah. Well, some of the religions teach when you die, you cease to exist.
Yes.
Yeah. That there is no life beyond the grave. But there is an eternal death. Eternal death, absolutely. I didn't bring that out. I should have. But there is more than a physical. Just as there is a physical life that man depends on, there is an eternal life that God gives. And just as there is a physical death that man gives, there's also a spiritual death that the God-man gives. You see that? Just vice versa. There is a eternal life that the God-man gives. And there is an eternal death that the God-man gives. Man can't give the life eternal. He can only give life physical. And man can only give you physical death. But the God-man that gives the eternal life is the same God-man that gives the eternal death. Yep. Thank you for bringing that out. Makes it a little more clear. Yes, there's more than just physical death. Yep. So next week we'll begin in chapter 6. I may teach a little more with visual aids. It helps me sometimes when you get in. There's a cluster of verses like this, as there was in chapter 3 and there was in chapter 4, where, boy, you have to work your way through them. And, you know, there were some of those that I never got the light turned on in my mind clearly until I studied it just this, in this study, in this series that we've studied over the past few months. Because there's just a cluster of verses there and the wording, and hard to follow and hard to determine exactly to put it all together. And so anyway, I may teach a little more about this, especially in chapter 6 and chapter 7, of the doctrine of sanctification. So at this time, we'll be saying goodnight to our Facebook friends. Thank you for connecting with us. We'll be streaming live again Sunday morning at 9:30 Sunday School with our Sunday School teacher, Frosty Pierce. Then we'll be also streaming live at approximately 11 o'clock with our morning service, again 6:15 on Sunday night. If you want to rejoin us on Sunday evening, we'd appreciate it. Thank you for connecting with us tonight. Stay safe, stay blessed, and we will be disconnecting at this time. All right. This shock of Randy has, I didn't.